We're talking taxes with Dan Traxler on 1340 KVGC. Good morning, everyone. Dan Traxler is an enrolled agent with the IRS. And Dan, today we are talking, well, let me just say Dan has offices located out on New York Ranch Road, right across from New York Fitness. And when I'm a good boy and working out there, I park in Dan's parking lot. So, no, I
You're welcome to park there anytime.
You know, I'll tell you what, your little Dropbox
yes.
had me going. I couldn't figure out how to put anything in it. So I got back in the car, and my wife said, what's the matter? I said, I can't figure this out. She got out, went in, leap, bing, bang.
There I have a new thing on the Dropbox, especially for you. It says, pull here.
Oh, okay.
So next time you go up there, when it says, pull here, and you got her.
Well, she had no trouble getting into it.
Of course, she's wise.
At all.
Remember our last show.
Yeah, you remember from a couple of weeks back, don't you, there, so. All right. So let's talk about today the tax provisions of a short sale or foreclosure of a residence. And is this still as big as it was?
It's still as big. It seems to have slowed down a little bit, but there are still, I don't know how many millions of homes that are still upside down as far as their mortgages are concerned, and people are concerned about them.
Do you think we're going to see another wave of foreclosures and...
Well, the problem with it is this tax code expires on December 31st of this year, so that no longer will a short sale or forgiveness of debt for a short sale or foreclosure be forgiven.
Yeah.
The IRS is going to include that on your tax return. But there are some caveats on that. Both presidential candidates have in their proposals to extend that provision, which is an interesting thing.
Well, let's talk about, first off, what is a short sale? We heard that term a lot. I've had people try to explain it to me, and it kind of goes in one ear and out the other, or over my head and around.
Well, it's a simple way of saying is that you sell your home and you receive a price for the sale of that home, but it is not enough to pay the mortgage, so you're short on paying off that mortgage.
But I don't sell the house. The bank sells the house.
Well, right? That's in a foreclosure. The bank will sell the house. In a short sale, you actually do sell the house. There's a real estate agent involved with the sale, and there's also a real estate agent involved with the purchase of the purchaser. Sometimes it's the same agent.
Are banks involved in short sales?
Usually not. A bank is involved because they've got the financing, and they're going to have to agree to the short sale. What happens is that the proposal is made to the bank on the offer, and then that offer is either rejected or accepted by the bank that holds the mortgage.
All right. So let's say that my house, I borrowed $300,000, let's say. My mortgage is $300,000.
Sure.
But in today's market, my house is worth $100,000.
Okay.
Do I have to come up with that $200,000? I mean, no one's going to give me $300,000 for my house.
Tax-wise or ethically, that's the question. Tax-wise, no, you don't have to come up with it, as long as it's been your principal residence for two out of the past 5 years.
But the bank's going to say, eh.
The bank's...
Go ahead.
Yeah, the bank. It's interesting. Where does the bank get that money? Well, a lot of it's coming from the federal government. A lot of those loans have been insured, and they're insured loans by the feds. And the feds are paying off on the insurance on a lot of those loans that go short, so that actually the bank is getting the full amount anyway.
Does the bank have to take the short sale?
Bank does not have to. They don't have to agree.
And funny you say that, because I've heard Bill Peterson with the Common Sense Financial Planning Show has mentioned that a couple of times, where, you know, the bank, they're walking away winners.
Oh, yeah, they
in
win.
In more ways than one.
The bank wins no matter what.
Yeah.
That's the way this country was created, so that the bankers win.
Mm-hmm.
And the IRS, of course. Can't forget those guys.
Do you think we're seeing the... I probably should leave this to George Norrie and the folks, Coast to Coast AM, but do you see us heading towards the demise of banks and the banking industry and philosophy in America?
George Norrie, yeah, that's a great one. No, I don't. I don't. We've gone through these types of crises before. Back in, 1984, we had a huge drop in the real estate market. In those times, people hung on to their homes. This has been different, where people are not hanging on to their homes. I have an opinion that it's a more of an ethical question than it is a financial question, because... And I'm not an expert in ethics, but I do know a lot about taxes.
I'm going to go with you on that one too, and I think we could start talking generations and entitlements and a whole type. We could get that could be a whole new show.
That could be a really long show.
So let's just not even go there, okay?
No, let's not go there.
So a short sale is my house is up for sale for less than I owe to the bank. I'm shorting the bank, but they approve it, and we sell the house.
Yes.
Okay. What is a foreclosure?
Foreclosure is where basically the easy way to think of that is you just walk away from the house, take all your furniture at midnight, move out, and say goodbye, and they're not paying the mortgage any longer, and the bank takes over the house, and then the bank has the option of selling it in a foreclosure sale.
But you hear stories of people who have lived in the house for 2 or 3 years
oh, yeah.
before they're forced out.
Yes.
I had an interesting one happen to my neighbor. She came home. She lived right above us, on the property right above us. She came home one day. She'd been renting this house.
I can almost tell what you're going to say.
For a couple of years, and her and her three kids. She came home, was very interested in buying the house from the owner. They had talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
There may even have been some money exchange there. But anyway, she came home and there was a notice on her door that said, we're selling this house on mm-hmm. the courthouse steps mm-hmm. on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, what? And apparently the owner of the home hadn't been paying the mortgage for 2 years.
Yep. Yep. Well, there's also a thing called fraud, which is illegal. I'm not an attorney.
Right.
I'm not an attorney. Say that three times. That way you're safe. but I do have a son who is in law enforcement, and he understands those types of things. And that's a legal problem that the rentor, the leasor, is probably going to have to face.
What happened is the bank, you know, she told the bank, said, hey, what's going on? And they said, hey, no problem. We're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yada, yada, yada. Nobody bought the house at the courthouse steps.
Right.
So what she did was they gave her the cash for keys.
Oh, yeah.
Today,
allow her to move.
You know, if you stay here,
sure.
Take care of it. Now, if you leave,
mm-hmm.
we're going to give you, I think it was $5,000 or $6,000.
Right.
And she was able to take that money, put a down payment on a home, and now she and her kids live in a very nice home here in Jackson.
It's better for the bank. The bank has someone living in a home that's going to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Down in Southern California, the problem was people walking away and they were taking the toilets, the sinks, the wiring out of the walls, everything they can get their hands on and sell it and just stripping the whole houses. And so the banks are very unhappy when they had to foreclose because there wasn't much left in the house.
Someday, ask me off the air about my time with a group of people on First Deeds of Trust.
Oh, okay.
And the owner that we lent the money to not paying the contractor
yep.
and the contractor coming back and
mm-hmm.
doing that.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And we were left with a shell.
I remember those days.
We were left with a shell of a house.
So. First and second trust deeds way back when.
So,
but
so,
getting back to short
yeah,
sales.
So let's go. So do I have to pay taxes on the short sale or the foreclosure?
In most cases, no. The problem comes in is when you have borrowed more money than the original loan on the home and use that money for something other than repair and improvement on that principal residence. For example, back in the day, the people were buying homes and they would get 110% equity of financing on it. They'd take that money and go out and buy cars, planes, trains, and automobiles.
Jet skis.
Or they just pay off a credit card. You had a $20,000 credit card bill. You borrowed money in your home. And even if some people were using their homes as bank accounts, the banks were giving you a check, actual real checkbook. You write a check, and it was coming off the house. Well, all that money is not forgiven. The problem is there's a lot of folks that have filed tax returns and have applied for forgiveness of the debt that probably shouldn't have all that get forgiven.
Dan, when did this all start?
2007 is when the code that became in effect, that we were allowed to have forgiveness. Folks were allowed to have forgiveness of unpaid balances on loans or principal residence.
And why didn't we hear about any of these things before 2007?
Well, the home prices were going up, remember? Everybody was buying a house because the house prices always go up, just like the dot-coms always mm-hmm. went up back
sure.
in the 90s. It's the same thing. We we get on some bandwagon in this country and we keep buying, the last guy that buys is the one that gets, you know, hit the hardest.
Isn't that called a pyramid scheme?
Well, yeah, that's a pyramid scheme. That's one way of a pyramid scheme. But
you're the one that started it.
Yeah, I know. It's, so buying a home is not a pyramid scheme. I want to say that right now.
No. Say it three times.
Yeah, right.
So let's sort of get back to what I was talking about there. What happens if I short sell my rental property?
Whole different question. If you short sell a rental property, there's an exclusion as far as short selling your principal residence if you have exceeded the amount of the original loan and you've used that money for buying something else. If you are insolvent, meaning that you have no money else, you have nothing left, there's no money in the bank, there's no retirement plan, they count those. There's nothing that you can be forgiven even that money. And the same thing on a sale of a rental, if you can prove insolvency. What happens with rentals, though, is that most of the problem is that it's a business rental. IRS calls it a business, and if you sell it for less than what you purchased it for, you could take a capital loss against that. And sometimes the capital loss against your original purchase can counteract the non-forgiveness of the debt that you had to report on your tax return, even if you can't report full insolvency on the balance. It gets a little complicated.
How long does it go on forever?
What goes on forever?
The relief, or does it catch up with you sooner or later?
No, once you're relieved of it, you're relieved of it.
So it doesn't follow you?
No, as long as you get that house short sold before December 31st, that's done. It's a done deal.
We're talking with Dan Traxler, talking taxes today, short sales or foreclosures of a residence. And gosh, you know, we go through this so fast, Dan.
I know.
One question for you there. So
we never talked about bankruptcy either. That's another issue, though, this whole short sale thing. But
we can talk about that next time.
Sure, sounds good.
So let me ask you this. Where does the money come from when a bank allows a short sale or foreclosure?
Well, now there's the big mystery. I had a client that was working, selling mortgages back in the late 90s, I mean, early 2000s, and these $110,000 mortgages. He was a mortgage broker. Well, he lost his job, and now he works for an insurance company that goes after the lenders of those mortgages because the insurance companies are coming up and having to pay these things off.
Right.
A lot of those mortgages were insured. So the short, meaning that if you owed $120,000 that you didn't get paid off by selling the house, that short $120,000 can be covered by insurance. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FDIC, you know, all those acronyms we use. Mm-hmm. One of those agencies is paying those things off. Also, a lot of money was put into banks by the current administration in order to help them to recover so that they didn't lose their banking business. And a lot of that money was used to recover those shorts.
When I bought my first house, we had PMI.
Personal mortgage insurance covered the mortgage.
And then after a while, after we got loan to ratio, the value of the loan, it went away.
Right.
But where did that money go? Did I just to the insurance company?
To the insurance company. Yeah. I am not.
Do they have those nowadays still?
Oh yeah, sure. They're still insured. Those mortgages still have PMI.
So wait a second. So if I default on my loan and they foreclose my house, they're still going to get their money from the insurance, and then they're going to get the money again when they sell the house?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they get to resell the house and make even more money.
So why are you and I doing this and not lending money to people and start our own bank?
We love what we do, Jim.
That's right.
You love to be behind the radio. I love to do taxes.
All right. We are talking taxes. We have been talking taxes with Dan Traxler. Dan is an enrolled agent of the IRS. Oh, you're not an enrolled agent of the IRS.
No, I do not work for the IRS.
Yes.
In a sense, I do, because I assist taxpayers to help them in front of the IRS. I'm not an employee of the IRS and never will be.
So what would you say? You're an IRS enrolled agent or you're enrolled
agent? I'm an enrolled agent, eligible to practice before the IRS.
So just he's an enrolled agent.
I practice before the IRS.
All right.
Just like a lawyer practices before the bar?
Yeah, the Supreme Court or whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. Well, where are you located in case I want to go find you and get some practice out of you?
623 New York Ranch Road, right across the parking lot from New York Fitness. I have my own private parking spot that you can park in if you're with a sign, as long as nobody else is parked there.
There you go. And what's the phone number, Dan?
257-0270, and the cell is 781-6201.
And you can always call us here at KVGC to get Dan's number. All right, Dan Traxler, thank you. We've been talking taxes today on 1340 KVGC with Dan Traxler. Join us again next week as we talk taxes.